The message I want to share with you today is from the book of Matthew, and we're going to start in chapter 27 at the end of the chapter. And the title I'm calling it is, You Will See Him There. You Will See Him There. And go ahead and turn there in Matthew 27. And there's an old song I love to sing, and I'm going to actually sing a little bit of it with you for you this morning. And it goes like this. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? So today's message is, there you'll see him, or you'll see him there. You'll see him there. Matthew 27, starting with verse 62. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he is risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first. So Pilate said to them, You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can. So they made it and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. So the enemy wanted to keep Jesus there in the tomb. He didn't want him to leave that tomb. He wanted to make that tomb, that underground place, secure. Now, this week we heard about some caves in Afghanistan that was thought to be secure. You know, some real bad guys. And those caves were no longer secure, were they? There was no hiding place. But you know, the enemy wants death to be a secure place. Yes, he does. He wants that place to be a place where nobody's going to leave it. And you're going to stay there, right there. And he did everything he could to keep Jesus in the grave. Everything. What did they put in front of the grave? A stone. So the first question the girls had, the Marys had, when they were coming to the tomb was, who's going to roll the stone away? Because that was one obstacle that they thought, the enemy thought, to keep Jesus in. But there wasn't just a stone. They put a seal on the tomb. Now, what's a seal? A seal is an official government authoritarian stamp that says this is the government's seal that says this tomb is not to be opened. It carried the authority of the Roman government, the world power of that day. No one was authorized to open it. Nobody. At least by Rome. And the third thing was the soldiers. So not only did they have a stone to try to keep Jesus in, they had the authority of a seal, and then they had some soldiers, right? Some messengers of that authority that were trying to keep him in the grave. So what happened to the stone? Rolled away. Nobody had to roll away the stone. It was rolled away for you. It was rolled away for Jesus. And no man rolled away that stone. I got news for you. The man put the stone in front of the grave, but no man rolled that stone back. It was the hand of the angel of the Lord. It was God himself that came in angelic form to roll that stone away. Yes. Amen? Amen? They wanted to make that tomb secure, but it wasn't secure, was it? Just like those caves in Afghanistan. There ain't no hiding place down here anymore. The stone. What is the stone? I'm going to just give you the idea at this point. I'm going to share with you a concept here that the stone represents the power of the grave, the power of death, the circumstances and situations that you and I face every day that keep us dead, that want to keep us dead. Do you know the enemy doesn't want you to be alive? You know the enemy wants you to stay in your grave. Come on now. To stay in your circumstance, to stay in your situation, to stay in poverty. You realize that? Habits that won't, you can't break free from. Patterns of living. Ways of thinking. Do you know that poverty is a stronghold? It's a way of life. And you could give. You know, you ever hear the stories about the guys that hit the lottery and they pull about 3 years later? Or sooner. Because it is there's a way of life. Or how about all those athletes? You hear about the athletes who made millions and millions of dollars that are poor, poor, poor. Because poverty is a stronghold. And there are circumstances and situations and stones, if you will, that will try to keep you there. But God has given us a new stone to take the place of the stone that's keeping you in the grave. It's a stone called the Rock of Jesus that Jesus said to Peter, because you have confessed me as Lord, I'm going to build my church upon this stone. And there was another stone in the book of Daniel that was not carved with human hands that actually brought down the mountain of the kingdoms of this earth. So God's got something for you, and he wants you to get out of the tomb. It's about time to get out of the tomb. It's about time to stop being in the grave. They couldn't hold Jesus, and they're not going to hold you if you go with Jesus. And I believe this thing about poverty. I went to that workshop. I'll never forget. We're studying it. We're working on it in our community. You realize that we, this church, your pastor and other people involved in this church are actively working to change the environment of Martinsville and Henry County, Virginia, out of an attitude of poverty to a place of prosperity. Can somebody say amen to that? Do you want this for this area? We don't want this place to be in poverty. We don't want people living in poverty their entire lives. God wants you blessed. He wants this town blessed. And he wants to break the things that keep people poor. God hates poverty. He blesses the poor. Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You receive the kingdom and you'll be blessed. Amen. Praise God. Now the seal. The seal is the authority. That's where the government was saying, you can't get out of this grave, Jesus. You can't leave. We don't want your body to leave. That was the thing. The key, actually, the battle was for the body. How many of you know the older you get, you still got a battle for the body? Sometimes the fight's a little harder the older you get. You know? You realize it was all about the body of Jesus at the resurrection? And that's another message. I was like, I had about four messages. I was like, Lord, what do I talk about? There's such good stuff here. Do you realize that they could believe that Jesus was a spirit, but they couldn't believe that he was there in his body? They couldn't get it. They just wouldn't receive it. They had to literally stick their hands in his body to get it. Jesus had to let them know this wasn't some kind of spirit. You know, you could talk to any person about what happens after death, and they'll say, oh, I know they're with you in their spirit, and they're with you in your heart. And yes, that's true. And I could say that's common in America, right? It's common. But you know what we preach? We preach the bodily resurrection. We say there's coming a day when our bodies will be raised incorruptible. And we will meet the Lord in the air. And therefore, we will be spirit, soul, and body with the Lord. I'm not going to be some kind of little phantasm spirit flying around the universe. I'm not going to be melted into some kind of great osmotic haze out there. Some kind of star formation. No. No, this body's coming to be with Jesus. And it's very important that we see the importance of our physical body. We believe in a physical resurrection. And I got news for you. Nobody else believes that but Christians. Because we believe that God cares about all of us, even our flesh. And he wants us to go spirit, soul, body, and then that bodily resurrection. Amen. It's not just some thought somewhere in the universe. I'm glad I'm not going to be some thought in the universe somewhere. You know, God cares about me a whole lot more to have me just melt into some kind of cosmic haze. That's Buddhism, by the way. Don't want that. Yeah, it's like, what is that? I'm sorry. But there's something there about the authority that the devil wants you and Jesus to stay in the grave. And we're going to put the seal on there. Now, I'm going to connect the seal with that authority. And the reason is they wanted to stop the story of the cross. They said, look, they're going to tell this story about Jesus rising from the dead on the third day. We want to stop their story and tell a different story. There's where fake news was invented, by the way, right there. Was the fake news of what Jesus did. Oh, no, Jesus. Oh, they stole his grave. You know, there are people that still speak that nasty fake news today that somehow the disciples got in there. But guess what? That's not what the historical record says. Nobody got in there to steal because they couldn't roll the stone away and it was sealed. And there was a guard there. So it didn't happen. Jesus left of his own accord. Death could not hold him. Glory to God. The greatest fear of the devil is that we tell the story that God wants us to say. Because all he cares about is telling the other story. And you see this conflict at the end of the Gospels where the devil wants to tell his story, which is a false story, and it was very, very important. Look at Matthew. Look at it. Go to chapter 28. You'll see it. It's right there. It says in verse 11, while the women were on their way, some of the guards went to the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. So when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, come on now, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say his disciples. Look, you are to tell this story. You are to say this. His disciples came during the night and stole them away while we were asleep. If this story gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money, as did and did as they were instructed, and this story has been told to this day. They took the money to tell the wrong story, and they kept out of trouble. See, the world wants to convince you with money and keeping you out of trouble so you don't tell the right story. So I'm telling you, God's here to bless you, but the world is here to not bless you. There are people out there and structures out there that don't want you to tell your story, and they'll try to put you in trouble, and they'll try to pay you off. One way or the other, they'll either threaten you or try to buy you off. And don't do it, folks. Amen. Don't do it. Tell your story. God wants you to tell your story. He wants you to go ahead and say it. Come on, Yvonne, sang it today. She sang it. The resurrection's all about us getting out of the grave and telling the right story. You're going to meet me there. You're going to meet me there. Were you there when they crucified the Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? We were in Jesus. In Jesus. I was crucified with him. I was raised with him. And when he comes back, I'm coming with him. Glory to God. In my mortal body. Amen. Amen. All of me. Not one hair of my head, it says, will be harmed. Aren't you glad I still have my hair? I am. Ronnie's got his hair too. Come on now. We're blessed leadership here. Stephen, God is good. Hey, wait a minute. Tim's got his hair. Looks good too. See, we're all blessed in here with hair. Well, sorry about that there, Brother Tim. It's the other Tim. But I want you to know, I want to be jumping off platforms like he does at his age. Come on now. He's not that far ahead of me, actually. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. God has given us a new seal. It's called the seal of the Holy Spirit. The seal of this world will try to condemn you with its laws. It'll try to condemn you with its condemnation. It'll condemn you with accusing you before the Lord day and night. They're going to call you a fraud. They're going to call you a trickster. They're going to call you somebody. They're going to call you all kinds of nasty stuff. And they're going to use laws to hurt you. Come on now. The law is there to condemn us. It's not there to bless us. You know what? I'm glad that Jesus turned the laws into promises. Come on now. When I look at the law, I'm like, I'm condemned, man. I can't do all this. I'm glad I admit it. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't for the gospel, I wouldn't face up to the fact that I was a failure as far as the law. At least I'm telling you the truth about it. We can't keep the law on our own. We can't fulfill the requirements of the law. If we break one commandment, we've broken them all. And you do it in your own flesh. I mean, God wants us to know that we cannot be saved by trying to play by all the rules. You do your best for the world, but you know what I'm saying? And so, but God has given us a seal of the Holy Spirit that says, we're dead to the law, we're alive in God. And I've got your authority now on me. I've got the seal on my heart. Because I'm out of the tomb. I'm not in the grave anymore. I'm not going to live in that place. I'm going to get out of that tomb. I don't belong in that tomb, and neither do you. Amen? Amen. I'm glad I saw it empty. I'm glad there was a point in time when I saw the grave closed there. I'm glad. But that's not where I'm living now. I'm going where Jesus tells me to go. He said, meet me there. Guess what? They met him there. They didn't meet him at the tomb. They met him there. He told them to go before me to Galilee. I says, I'm going before you to Galilee. If you want to find me after the resurrection, don't go be looking at the tomb. I won't be there. But they kept, how do you know the disciples kept going to the tomb? They kept going, the ladies went, they didn't see him there. They went, they didn't see him there, but they kept going to the tomb until they finally got the message. Go to where I tell you to go, and if you go where I tell you to go, you will meet me there. You'll meet me there. And so many Christians, I'm telling you, God's telling you to go somewhere personally in your life. He'll tell you to go somewhere. If you go there, he'll meet you there. But you got to get out of your grave. You got to get out of the tomb. I praise God. We've got people in here that are moving forward with their life. They're not going to be doing the same old anymore. And they're out. And they're moving on. And they're going to meet Jesus. Because he told them to go back to Galilee and meet me there. See, there will be messengers of the enemy to try to keep you where you're at. But you know what happened to them? They got paralyzed. So when the angel said, he didn't say to the guards, don't be afraid. He said to the ladies, don't be afraid. He wanted the guards to be afraid. They needed to be afraid because they couldn't move. They were so scared. They became as dead men. That's exactly right. And fear will make you dead. And God wants you out of fear. You know, some people won't go forward with Jesus because they're simply plain afraid to do it. You know, if I really trust the Lord and really do what he really tells me to do, you know, it's bad because stuff can happen. You know, if I put that tithe check in, I may not have enough money, so they don't do it because they're afraid. Or if God tells me to go with Tim to Nigeria, I don't know about that Nigeria place. I mean, I wouldn't mind going to the Caribbean, but I don't know about that Nigeria place. There's a lot of crooks out there. Well, guess what? Tim goes to Nigeria. And guess what? He met Jesus in Nigeria. Did you meet Jesus in Nigeria? You see, you meet him when you go. You meet him when you obey God and when you move forward to go where he tells you to go. You meet him there. Not just in your same old life. Not just in the rut. How many of you know a rut is a grave with the ends knocked out of it? Come on. God wants us to get out of the rut. He wants us to get out of the grave. He wants to get out of just sitting there. He wants us to go and meet him where he tells us to. There is a calling. And there's a helper called the Holy Spirit. And he is in us, with us, and for us. He's in us, he's with us, and he's for us. I think what paralyzes us from obeying God is that we're afraid that God is not. I think some people still don't get it, and I got to be reminded too. Do you realize that God is for you? And I want us to end on Romans chapter 8, so let's turn to Romans 8. You know, sometimes, and I got to say this, this is something you got to walk out in your life every day. Because you don't feel like God's really for you because other people maybe treat you bad. You know what I'm saying? So you feel like, well, so-and-so wasn't really for me. They've been against me. And then you hear people talk bad about you, right? Or then a circumstance happens and you feel like that didn't work out. You tried it and you failed. How many of you know failure can sometimes get you down, right? It gets me down. All right? Failure gets you down. Rejection gets you down. Will get you down. But I just believe that God is for you. He is for you. He's not against you. Do you realize that God's for you even when you fail? God is for you even when you miss the mark? God is for you even when you do stupid stuff? I use the word stupid. Okay, I don't call people stupid, but I call stuff I do stupid sometimes, because some of it is. It's just dumb, you know? And we just do horrible things sometimes, and it's like, what were you thinking, John? No, you weren't thinking, or your thinking was really bad. And so God loves us. God loves us, and he's for us even when we fail. He's for us even when we show bad attitudes. He's for us even when we're at our lowest. You know, so the devil wants you to think that because you did this wrong or because you did that wrong, that somehow God just gave up on you. How do you know that Jesus didn't give up on you? When did he ever reject anybody that came to him? He said, I'm sorry, you know, you came to me 4 or 5 times, but I've just had enough. Can you believe that? You know, but we have that attitude. We have that attitude. Three strikes, you're out. Sorry, that's it. But no, Jesus isn't like that towards us. He's not that way. I mean, I've struck some people out. I've struck out. But God doesn't treat us that way, and Jesus doesn't treat us that way. In Romans chapter 8, I think I'm going to start with verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Can you just say right now, God is for us. He's with us and he's in us. You know what? He's in us because you can't get any closer than being inside somebody. There's intimacy with the Lord. And when we love the presence, one of the reasons why we love the presence of the Lord is because it's God in us. You can't, when you get so close to the Lord, it's like, wow, Lord, I thank you that you're with me. You're in me on this one. I just feel you in me. And then you're with me. You know, when somebody's with somebody, you don't have to always say anything. Just because they're with you, you feel better. And the Holy Spirit's with us, and God's with us. But he's also for us. That's the one I want to really leave you. Because I feel like the enemy has just tried to rob us of that mindset that God is somehow not for you. That's so religious. I hate religious. I hate religion. I hate that kind of nasty religious attitude that somehow that God is ready to zap you. God is ready to hit the button. God is ready to just throw you in the trash can, that somehow he's just waiting for, you know what I mean? To catch you in a mistake. You know, the devil really is that way. They're the ones that try to trap Jesus in his words or try to, you know, the devil wants to bring out the worst in people or to make that notice. Why do we even care? Why do we feel it's even necessary to talk about someone else's weaknesses? Come on now. That's the devil. God hasn't called us to point out other people's flaws. Come on, we got enough of our own. God's for us. And you know what? If we really believe God's for us, then we'll be for other people too. Because we know, and I believe that. I believe the key to loving others is learning how to receive the love of Jesus. Some of us don't receive it. He loves us, and then we like, no, don't love me. Don't really. I know. And, you know, we got to repent, and we got to receive his love, and we got to say, God, I know you're for me no matter how nasty I think I am or no matter what I think I've done. And then you start treating people right. You start loving them. You know what? There's nothing better to have somebody with you that's for you. Boy, when you got somebody that is on your team, you're like, yes, we can do anything, right? We are on the same team. We're together. We've got no reason to expose or to humiliate people or set them straight. You know, we need to repent from that horrible thing of always trying to set everybody straight. I'm just talking to myself now. Nobody else does this. Or to point out someone's flaws. Now, we need to pray about this and then, you know, just expose someone's horrible, how horrible they are. Come on now. Let's love on people. Let's speak life over people. Let's speak truth. I mean, look what Peter did. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus did not say, now, if I was Jesus, I would have said, Peter, I told you, man. I told you so. Look what happened. You did it right there, right there. I saw it, man. I was looking at you. I had the cross on my back, bloody, and I saw you deny me. I saw you crying. Now, come on. Now, he didn't rub it in. He just said, Peter, do you love me? You love me, Peter? You know, he was bringing that relationship back, restoring him. God is for us. Who can be against us? Who God is for you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to meet Him. He wants you to make it. He wants you to be blessed in everything that you do. And He wants you to be a blessing to others. You know, there's such potential. There's such power in this room right here of people of God to just shake this world, shake this town, shake this world for Jesus. You know, one thing that brother Tim, when Tim goes to a country, one of the things that happens when you go is people are blessed because when they see Tim, they know that God is for them. Because look what God sent me, this guy, all the way from Bassett, Virginia. Man, God is for me. And you know, He's blessed so many people. You know, that's a wonderful thing. And you know, God's going to send some of you. You're going to meet Jesus in some places that God sends you that you're just going to be amazed. You're just going to be amazed. Amen. Can we stand to our feet? God is so good. Hallelujah, Lord. Were you there when He rose up from the grave? Were you there when He rose up from the grave? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when He rose up from the grave? Amen. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You are for us. And Lord, nothing could keep You in the grave. Nothing could keep You in the tomb. Nothing could separate You from the love of God. Lord, no height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate us. And Lord, today we just blow away. We blow up all of the hiding places of the enemy in our lives that would try to keep us stuck from walking in the authority of the sealing of the Holy Spirit on us, where we know that we know that we know that God is for us. Yes. That we can walk in the confidence and the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And we know it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sins. We will not be condemned by the lying tongues of the enemy telling fake news and false stories. But we will tell what we have seen and experienced. Then we will see Jesus alive in His body, in everything that we knew Him to be. Not some kind of spiritual mumbo jumbo, but in reality, Lord, we thank You. The resurrection is real. It's mighty. It's earth-shaking. And heaven and hell cannot stop. Nothing can stop the love of Jesus. Nothing in the heights or the depths. Father God, we thank You for the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. We thank You that, God, You're with us. And Lord, we surrender to You. We honor You. We love You. We love You because You're for us. We love You because You gave it all for us. Lord, we thank You, Lord. And we praise You and we bless You in Jesus' name. Ronnie, come on, pray for us right now, brother. Amen.
Amen. I just want to add to this theme that you're saying about God is for us. God is for us. And I heard somebody preaching the other night. I can't tell you exactly where the scriptures are. I know they're in Joshua, the book of Joshua, where the children of Israel finally got over into Canaan, and they got through Jericho. They And then, well, actually, they were just getting ready to go in and strike. And they sent a couple of spies. Now, Joshua didn't send 10 out. He said, well, we made a mistake when we did that the last time. He sent 2 he knew were full of faith. And they went into a place where they were hiding in a lady's house. Her name was Rahab. Remember her? Okay, so she hid them upstairs or up on the top of the house there in a basket or something. I'm trying to remember the scripture. I just heard this in passing. But she said when she went up and talked to them, she said that we heard about how God brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. We heard how that you crossed the Red Sea on dry land. Yes. We heard that. And it said our hearts melted. Our hearts melted and there was no more strength. The point is, that happened 40 years earlier. That happened 40 years earlier when God first told them to go in. The same thing, they're looking back at something that happened 40 years ago and their hearts melted. But the first ones wouldn't go in. But the point is that God had already prepared the way. He had already broken the defenses down. He had already caused fear to be upon the people.
Right.
40 years later, they could have done it 40 years earlier. The point is, when God tells you to do something, when God gives you an instruction and tells you to do this or tells you to do that or tells you to go there, He's already prepared the way. He's already prepared the way ahead of you. He's already made every provision that's needed. He's already stopped every enemy that would stop you. He's already done all the work. And He says for you to go, or He says for you to do. And when we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I will do it. Yes, Lord, I'll take a step in this, Lord. What happened? The grace of God is opened up to us. The grace of God and the plan that He's already prepared and fixed for us. Amen. So I just want to encourage you today. He is for us. He's for us. If He tells you to do something, He's not against us. He's for us. He has prepared the way. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, Lord, God, we commit ourselves to You right now, Father. We decide today that we are going to obey, Lord.
Amen.
We are going to hear Your voice and we're going to obey what You would have us to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank You, Lord. We commit ourselves to Your word. We commit ourselves to Your instructions. We commit ourselves to Your command. And Father, we say today that we are Yours. We are Yours, O God. We will do what You want us to do. We will go where You want us to go. We have a willing heart today, Lord. We are obedient, willing and obedient today. We make our hearts ready to be willing and obedient to do what You would have us do, Lord, to go where You would have us go. We thank You for that today, Lord. We submit ourselves to You. We surrender to You in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord some praise, could we? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, God.